Got a few announcements this morning. Bruce Sherman is in Beaumont Hospital, and he's going to have a stent put in tomorrow. So, Bruce Sherman. So, we need to keep Bruce in our prayers. And Carrie has an update on Ivan. Amy just sent him a little ditty this morning. Okay, so that's good news. He is improving, and hopefully he can get moved to Bad Axe soon and start the rehab. We need to congratulate the Pattersons today. They have royalty in their family. Their grandson, Ashton, was crowned Sandusky Homecoming King, and Rich Long's granddaughter, Maddie, was our queen. So we have royalty family in the building today. And this is just a reminder that today is the last day to order pies from Deckerville United Methodist Church. They have to be picked up here on Thursday, the 28th, from 10 a.m. until noon, and payment is due at the time of pickup. Got a few birthdays today for this week. Johnny Bader is on the 18th, Kara Ridley the 19th, Dan Radloff, the 22nd, Margaret Sefton, the 23rd, Bob Stoliker, the 23rd, Deb Tank, the 23rd. So we'll sing happy birthday to them. And for anniversaries, yesterday was Craig and Marie Mosier, and today is John and Catherine Phillips, so we'll sing to them. We also want to continue to keep Pastor Sue in our prayers. She's going to be starting, she started rehab on Friday, so she's doing better. I sent her a little message the other day, and she said that she's definitely, this is a lot easier than the last time. So we just need to keep all of those in our prayers, all of those who are on in our bulletin, and just go ahead and read. We have several meetings coming up, and there are a lot of announcements on your bulletin also. We'd like to welcome all of our visitors today, and the vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ, And our mission statement of our denomination is, Go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Julie Krause will be bringing you the message, and I'm Deb Darling, your worship leader for this morning. So we want to welcome you all, and I'd like you all to just quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Talk too fast. And we still have a little time on our hands, so you girls don't want to like do a little jig or anything for us while we're waiting. Okay. It's good to see some kiddos in there right up in the front pew today, so that's good. We are truly blessed and glad to see your lovely faces with your moms. Is there anything that anybody wants to share? We've got 1 minute.
How's your mom?
My mom's doing well. We're having a few issues. They do have some positive cases right now, so we are not allowed in, but I can bring her out. So I'm having a little trouble with the science of it all, but we will continue to bring her out as often as we possibly can. She's doing good. She thinks she needs to get into her apartment, but she's not. That's not going to happen right away. I will do that. I'm going to see her through the window this afternoon. I'm not looking forward to winter window visits, so I hope that we can get things cleared up and get back in. But she listens faithfully on the radio. I didn't tell her I was doing it today, so when I go see her, she'll say, "Was that you?" Yeah, we need to keep all our farmers in our prayers this week also, and hopefully we can get all those crops off and the weather cooperates, because it's been a crazy season. So pray for no more rain. We don't need that, that's for sure. Oh, that's right. Did we all notice all the new sidewalk out here? It's beautiful, yes. That's great. That was a nice mission accomplished. Oh, we need to pray for Haiti also. I understand on the news today there were 17 U.S. missionaries that were kidnapped. So we need to keep them all in their prayers. They're battling as it is over there right now after that last hurricane, and it's very sad. So, yes. Yep. Harold Barr passed away this past week, so we need to keep Sandy in our prayers. Okay, let's all stand for our praise song, number 2176, Make Me a Servant. standing for the call to worship. All you who would be friends, all you who would be neighbors.
Let us all learn from the example of Jesus.
The care and concern of Jesus for others. We're founded on the love of God, the God we come here to worship today. Let us join now through love and devotion, and in word and song.
As we gather for worship, let us spend just a moment in quiet, stilling our hearts, remembering why we are here. May you, O God, be with us in our singing, the prayers we offer, and our understanding. May our thoughts be on others rather than self, and our hearts stirred to service as we leave this place. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 558, We Are the Church.
Children would like to come forward for a children's message. You can go ahead and sit. Since it's pumpkin carving season, who carves pumpkins? This is a story about a farmer and a pumpkin. The farmer lives way out in the country. On his farm, he has a pumpkin patch. Pumpkins are really special. They start out as small oval seeds that grow into big orange pumpkins. The farmer plants the seeds, waters, and cares for the pumpkin vines and patiently waits as they grow. Finally, by October, there are big orange pumpkins in the pumpkin patch. Some are tall and lean, some are short and round, and some have bumps and lumps. But they are all pumpkins, and all were planted and cared for by the farmer. One day, the farmer chose a pumpkin for a special project. He brings it in from the field and washes it off. You have to be careful with pumpkins. They're tough on the outside, but if you drop them, they break into pieces. The farmer takes a large knife and cuts a hole in the top of the pumpkin. Inside, there is yucky, slimy pulp waiting for him. That has to go. He cleans it all out and throws it away, never to be seen again. After that, he gives the pumpkin a new face. He cuts two triangles for eyes, a square for a nose, and a big, wide smile. Then he does something really special. He puts a small white candle down inside the pumpkin and lights the wick. How the pumpkin glows! As people pass by, they see the smiling pumpkin and smile back. They know that once again the farmer has taken a simple pumpkin and changed it into a glorious sight. Now, do you think you're like a pumpkin? Do you think Jesus is like a farmer? Let's hear a little bit about that. Just like us, all pumpkins are different. But there was something the same about every one of them. That yucky, slimy pulp on the inside. The yucky, slimy pulp is like the sin that's in us. From Romans 3:23, we hear, "For all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's every single one of us. After cleaning out that pumpkin, the farmer gave the pumpkin a new face. The Bible says God makes us a new creation too. From 2 Corinthians we hear, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And then comes the really special part. The light was placed inside that pumpkin, and it glowed for all to see. In 2 Corinthians again we hear, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' and he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So we are light pumpkins, aren't we? We're a glorious sight to see for others to see the love of Jesus. Let's say a little prayer and then I may have something for you. Oh, holy God, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the children among us and those who are listening at home and those who have come yet to know you. We hope that they do come to know you and that you can make sure that they are like a pumpkin and then they shine glorious in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, I do have something. It's just like what we talked about. I'm going to need some help here. We have a bag. I have a bag for each of you, and it says, "Smile with the light of Jesus," just like we talked about, isn't it? There's one for each of you. Alrighty. And then I'm going to let you guys go ahead and share these. Make sure everyone gets one, will you please? And then I have a pencil for each of you. And will you make sure everyone gets one? Alrighty. Thank you for coming up today. And I'm also going to pull one of our special prayer requests from up here from the children that we'll remember when it's prayer time. I want to pray for more people to love God. Well, when you shine with the light of Jesus, I think you'll show them the way. At this time, we'll have our Old Testament reading.
Our reading is Psalm 104, verses 1 through 9, 24, and 35. "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds on his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of all your creatures. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now we will have the choir sing the anthem today.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. At this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Awesome God and teacher, we ask for your healing, comfort, and peace to surround those who we have named here this morning and for those who we hold close in our hearts and minds. We especially ask for continued healing for Pastor Sue, and we remember Graf Chevrolet and Buick throughout this week. Loving God, we come to you in gratitude for your love, which is always present to us. In the stillness of these moments, we remember with thanksgiving the times in our lives when your love has enabled us to rise to our better selves. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our ultimate teacher, who came that we might know what perfect love looks like. We remember, too, the times when we have acted in anger rather than in love. We recall with remorse when our understanding has been less than perfect and our behavior has been childish and arrogant. Forgive us for the occasions when we have loved things and used people, and we have failed to make love a priority in our lives. Breathe in us new life, instilling us with enthusiasm for the opportunities we have to begin again. Empowered by your love for us, O God, let us unite ourselves with all of life in the example of Jesus, the Lord of our lives. Help us to be intentional in the ways we interact with one another, so that there can be no doubt as to whom we serve. And now let us join together as Jesus taught us, praying, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, as you are able, please stand and join together in hymn number 530, Are Ye Able?
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you catch and you are ready to shoot, what do your eyes lock in as a target? That's a question for Steph Curry, one of the top basketball players in the world, point guard for the Golden State Warriors, two-time NBA Most Valuable Player, two-time NBA champion, single-season three-point record holder. "When I look at the rim," he says, "I look at where the rim and the net meet. I want to look at the front of the rim and just try to put that ball just over the front of the rim with a little bit of touch, a little bit of arc. So in case I'm not perfect in swishing it, I give myself a good opportunity to get a soft bounce on the rim." When it comes to shooting a basketball, Steph Curry is a master. That's why he teaches on Masterclass, an online streaming platform that offers classes taught by talented professionals. He's not alone. Margaret Atwood offers a class on writing. Questlove teaches music. Gordon Ramsay shows people how to make a really good egg toast. All are masters of their fields, offering their instruction through glossy videos. Some talk to the camera for a few hours, while others take a hands-on approach, leading workshops or demonstrating techniques. When Steph Curry shoots the ball, he hits nothing but net. Masterclass launched in 2015 by offering just three classes: Dustin Hoffman on acting, Serena Williams on tennis, and James Patterson on writing. Since then, the company has grown exponentially, says The Atlantic magazine, raising $135 million in venture capital from 2012 to 2018. It has now added more than 85 classes across 9 categories. The program claims to offer a premium, high-level learning experience. Classes are taught by the very best in the world. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus offers a masterclass on discipleship, giving advice to James, John, and his other followers. He talks to them face-to-face as they are on the road, not through a glossy video. James and John are two brothers who really want to be the best. So they come forward and say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." They want to be helped by Jesus, like students desiring to learn how to serve a tennis ball like Serena Williams, act as well as Dustin Hoffman, or DJ like Questlove. "What is it that you want me to do for you?" asked Jesus. It's not clear if they want a lecture, a workshop, or a demonstration. So they say to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." These two brothers want to be seen as the very greatest of disciples, with places of honor at the right and left of Jesus in the kingdom of God. They are like the target customers of the Masterclass video series, people known as CATS, curious, aspiring, 30-somethings. Yes, James and John are CATS. But Jesus shakes his head and says to them, "You do not know what you are asking." He knows that you don't rise to the top by simply asking for recognition or by watching an online video taught by a master. It takes more than a class to shoot a basketball like Steph Curry. "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" asked Jesus, "or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" According to New Testament professor Fame Perkins, they are being asked if they can accept the same kind of suffering that Jesus now faces. Both baptism and cup are metaphors for suffering, not for worldly success. Jesus is asking if they are able to join him on the path to the cross, and they reply, "We are able." While you have to admire the enthusiasm of James and John, their quick and confident response sounds quite naive. Do they really think they will rise to the level of Jesus like a masterclass student expecting to be able to write like James Patterson? Jesus then speaks the raw truth to them. "The cup that I will drink, that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." Sure enough, James will be killed in Jerusalem by Herod Agrippa, while John will suffer but survive. Then Jesus says to them, in reference to their original request, "To sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, for it is for those who it has been prepared." He cannot guarantee that they will rise to the top any more than Steph Curry can predict the next MVP. And when the other 10 disciples hear this, they begin to be angry with James and John. At this point, Jesus offers the clearest guidance in his masterclass on discipleship, beginning with an explanation of how the rulers of the Gentiles are often tyrants. "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them." Then he invites them into a workshop in which they have to roll up their sleeves and work as a servant. "But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." Finally, he ends with a demonstration focused on himself. "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Talk, workshop, demonstration. 3 elements of a masterclass on discipleship offered by Jesus. If Jesus were making instructional videos today, he would probably talk about how many leaders today still fight for dominance and power and act like tyrants. Jesus might talk about servant leadership and about how servant leaders put the needs of their people first, helping them to develop as individuals who can do their very best. He might even lift up people like Abraham Lincoln, Mother Teresa, and Martin Luther King Jr. as examples of servant leaders. In a sermon based on this scripture passage from Mark, Martin Luther King once said that there is a deep down within all of us an instinct. It's a kind of drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. King knew that this was human nature, and he felt it in himself. But he concluded by saying that at his funeral, he would like somebody to say that he tried to give his life serving others, to feed the hungry, to clothe those who were naked, to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. Jesus would also invite us into a workshop on servant leadership, pushing us to find our greatness in service to others. Leadership isn't about making our names known. It's about making God's name known and having the ability to love and respect the people in our care, using the authority we've been given by grace. While we might not have a best-selling book to reference, we do have 6 different qualities to keep in mind if you want to become a servant leader. Number 1, integrity. If we are true servant leaders, we can't cheat, lie, and manipulate our way to the top. We are called to do something much different and entirely countercultural. Be honest. Number 2, humility. In Christian servant leadership, we have to be willing to learn from and listen to those we lead, because we know that they have value and worth. The truth is that they might actually have better ideas than we do, or a perspective that we don't. A servant leader is someone who has built-in space to learn and grow from the experiences and opinions of others. Number 3, flexibility. Servant leaders practice flexibility. They're willing to adapt to their situations and surroundings. They recognize that life can throw them into unexpected situations or challenges. But instead of allowing those unexpected events to cause anger, confusion, or panic, servant leaders recognize that God is present in every circumstance. Number 4, resilience. Servant leaders recognize that struggles are real and life is difficult, but God is in control. Resilience isn't an absence of fear, challenges, or momentary failures. Resilience is the ability to bounce back, to push through, and to press on, based on the truth that God has enabled us to persevere because He is our ultimate source of strength. Number 5, stewardship. A servant leader sees people as valuable to God and stewards their time and talents as well. This kind of leader calls out what is good and true about the people they lead, giving them instruction and encouragement in how to serve God. A servant leader uses their time for God's glory, not their own. Number 6, empathy. When we're able to take time out of our day to empathize with those around us and put ourselves in their shoes, we become more like Jesus. Whenever Jesus encountered someone who was hurting or in need of encouragement, he looked at them and had compassion for them, and then he acted. A servant leader can see people through the eyes of Jesus. As we just covered, one of the key qualities of servant leadership is empathy, which is the ability to see yourself in someone else's shoes. Such a quality is critically important whether you are serving on a church board, mentoring a teenager, serving a hot meal to a homeless woman, or having a conversation with a grieving church member. Empathy is a key aspect of leadership, says Jennifer Stasek. It's easy to get hyper-focused on tasks and the work that we do. Work is important, and accomplishing goals is too. But if we're not careful, we can begin to see people as problems to be solved instead of human beings to be loved. She's right, isn't she? If we focus too much on our tasks, we see people as problems to be solved instead of human beings to be loved. But the greatest among us will always put people first and be the slave of all. Servant leaders are empathetic, which means that they see people through the eyes of Jesus. Finally, Jesus offers us a demonstration of servant leadership through his actions as a Son of Man. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus always puts others first, feeding thousands of hungry people, healing the sick, and washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus allowed himself to be lifted up, not on a high pedestal, but on a cross, offering his body and his blood to bring us forgiveness and new life. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, said his disciple Peter, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness, from 1 Peter. Feeding, healing, washing, and sacrificing. Jesus met the needs of others, giving of himself completely. In his words and actions, he offered an unforgettable demonstration of what it means to serve others. If you are curious about discipleship and aspiring to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus' life and teachings are the only master class you'll ever need. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, if the ushers will come forward to take up our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Thank you for your faithfulness. We are so grateful that we can always count on you. Out of your abundance and great mercy, you have given us so much. And so we return these tithes, gifts, and offerings today. With them, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Take them now and use them for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply their reach and influence, we pray. May they be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, if you'll remain standing as you are able, our hymn is number 432, Jesu, Jesu.
Thank you.
please remind people that if you stay after, there is fellowship after the service. Now, God has chosen us to be God's servants. We leave this worship for lives of service. May God the giver give you the gifts you need. Christ the servant show you the way. And the Spirit of life grant you joy in humble tasks done in God's name. Go forth in peace serving one another. In the Lord's holy name we pray. Amen.
Sings my soul, my Savior God. It's clean and pressed with a crease. Down one thread is torn. She kisses him goodbye. Plants one on his badge for luck. Then he's off to his thankless job. The one he loves so much, he bleeds blue. Pride written on his face. He knows the danger and does his job anyway. After trying to make a difference, protecting me and you, tuning out for ridicule. He bleeds blue. There's kids that hang at the park. He's taking a liking to. Takes time with them to listen and to shoot some fools. He brings Miss Jones her mail. Been lit up for months. Where the streets come alive with the bad guys, he hauls a few away in cuffs. Just a routine traffic stop, like he's done a thousand times. Soon his partner cries when he tells the wife, got caught on. Brother home tonight. He bleeds blue, pride written on his face. And he knew the danger and did his job anyway. Out there trying. Protecting me and you, he was scorned and ridiculed. Yet he bleeds blue, scorned and ridiculed. He bleeds blue. She runs her.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surround.